This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Centers for Disease Control has reported widespread flu activity throughout the country, including Michigan. The volume of flu cases led both Bronson and Borges hospitals to put some limits on visiting patients recently. We're going to discuss the flu with Dr. David Davenport. He's infectious disease specialist at Borges Health. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Give us an idea, how bad is the flu this year as we begin 2015?
This year's particularly bad. This is the worst season that I've seen in the last 3 years. It's probably due at least to two things. The vaccine is not as effective as it's been in previous years, and the actual strain itself is one that's historically notorious for causing increased hospitalizations and deaths.
You say the vaccine is not as effective as it's been in previous years, but if somebody has not had their flu shot and still has an opportunity to get one, should they do so?
Yes. It's one of the critical three-pronged recommendations the Center for Disease Control has. The vaccine is still effective for about 40 to 50% of the patients. And the 40 to 50% that it doesn't prevent the flu, it usually attenuates the disease. So if you've had the vaccine, you're less likely to end up hospitalized, less likely to have pneumonia, and you're less likely to be one of the unfortunate persons that dies from influenza every year.
Who are the people who are most at risk of getting the flu, and then who are the most at risk of having a serious case of the flu that could perhaps lead to death?
Well, there's two main groups that have the most influenza in any year. One group is the very young, and it's the children that are less than 2 years of age. And they're at high risk for influenza, and that's why the recommendations recently has changed for everyone over 6 months of age to have an influenza vaccine. Currently, in the United States, there's been a total of somewhere near 30 children that have died of influenza. And just last week, that was 15. So that's a group that we really worry about, and we're anxious to get immunized. The other group is persons over 65 years of age, particularly those that have underlying health problems. Those would be people with congestive heart failure, with chronic lung disease, that have cancer or on strongly immunosuppressive drugs. Most of the people that end up hospitalized have a number of other issues going on. At Borges, for example, last week, over half of our cases were on a cardiac floor.
Let's go back a little bit and explain how we reach this situation where we're talking about a difficult year for the flu or a bad year for the flu. Why is 1 year so much different, or how can 1 year be so much different than another year when it comes to the flu?
Well, the flu is, the virus itself is notorious for changing its outer coat, which means it kind of rapidly mutates. And the one that we're having now, this influenza A, which is called H3N2, is a bad one, but the virus itself, it frequently changes. The virus also infects birds and swine, so there's a lot of what we call genetic reassortment. So the virus slowly changes, and new viruses emerge because they have a selective advantage if no one in the human population is immune to it. And usually that slowly happens over time. And that's why every year there's a new strain. There's another thing where there's a dramatic change in the genetic makeup of influenza that happens every 30 to 50 years that causes widespread pandemics that we haven't seen recently for a long time. And people that follow the flu are real anxious that we're due for a major pandemic like the likes of which we haven't seen in the last 30 years.
And explain a little bit more about the vaccine, because I think people find this part of it interesting, that the vaccine itself is something of a moving target, correct, in terms of the flu that it's trying to inoculate.
That is correct. One of the hard things is most of our vaccine is produced in eggs. It takes about six to eight months to produce. So usually at the end of the previous flu season, a number of scientists get together and try to look at the different strains that have been isolated and try to predict what they think will be the predominant strains that will come out in the following year. So it's a scientific guess, so to speak. Most of the time, it's pretty good. This year, it wasn't so good, and we ended up with a vaccine that covers about 50% of the isolates.
We are speaking on Monday, January 5th. Some people are just getting back to work. Kids have just gotten back to school. Will we know more at the end of this week or maybe the beginning of next about how this flu is going to spread, since people are now perhaps getting in contact with more people than they normally do if they perhaps took some time off and weren't at work for the last week or more?
Very much so. There's two issues coming to play. Number one, when everyone goes back to work and back to school, there's a much higher chance that you will acquire the flu. You will be exposed to the flu. So we often see a peak in the number of cases of flu when the holidays are over. The other big thing is that there's often underreporting during a holiday season because of the people in public health and everywhere else are also on vacation. And they come back to work today, and they start to get all those numbers together.
I noted at the beginning that there were some limitations put on people visiting patients at both Borges and Bronson. Can you explain a little bit what those are, and perhaps if you can explain, you know, what they mean, why you put those limitations on people?
Above all, we want to be sure that flu is not spread in the hospital. People that are in the hospital are already sick and are already at risk. And we really need to do everything to be sure that we don't expose our patients to influenza, because they're the ones that are already at high risk. So one of the ways we do that is to limit the number of people that can visit. We also have a very strong policy of trying to educate the family members of what to do. And one of the things we do for influenza is we ask all the family members to wear masks, for example. The other important thing is that children frequently have influenza, and frequently it's harder to get a handle on their symptoms, and they are less forthcoming sometimes than adults. So both hospitals have policies about limiting children. Also, pregnant women are at very high risk, so we limit visitation to pregnant women as well. The other big issue that's actually occurred here in Kalamazoo and caused some real initial problems in terms of staffing. We had a number of our employees, a significant number of nurses at both hospitals that came down with influenza. So we had to be very strict about a policy of not letting them come back because we don't want to spread the influenza. But then we had staffing policies of covering all of our sick patients.
So it becomes a real double-edged problem there for a hospital that you have staff who get infected and they're sick. At the same time, you might have more people who need treatment, and yet you have not as many professionals who are there to help them.
That is correct. And ironically, for whatever reason, this year, the week of Christmas was the most difficult week for both hospitals because we saw what we call a huge surge in the number of cases of influenza. At Borges, in terms of lab isolations, we had over 300 isolates in 1 week alone. And we had the largest surge of patients. And we had a significant number of employees, particularly nurses, that were out with the flu.
Dr. Davenport, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
David Davenport is infectious disease specialist at Borges Health. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.